So my friend has a comedy troupe in New York, and this was one of the things that they performed. And so I told her it was pretty amazing.
Monica, Carrie, Samantha, you know where I'm going with this. Ladies, you've been friends a long time now. I've been to all your weddings. I even went to Abu Dhabi with you. But while I know all about Central Perk and Big and Aiden, you don't know a damn thing about the Real Housewives of Atlanta or TheRoot.com. So I am putting you on notice to come on out your ivory shell and recognize the Browning of America, because this is real. Get yourself some black friends, Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, in a place with 10 million people.
Half of them Latino, Harlem, Brooklyn, baby.
Do you have a fear of us?
It's not that serious.
But I think you get the gist. Let's move on.
Just look down the Barnes and Noble aisle.
Give a little smile. Talk about Obama.
We can go to the next one. So, as you can see, my name is Travit, and I'm your new black friend. So, you can contact me at any and all of those. And the hashtag for this session is SXNotLikeYou. So, So, I have some questions for you to see how well you know me, your new BBFF. So, I have a couple of questions. Some people are exempt from asking the questions, answering some of these questions, but let's see how well you know me, your new BFF. So, I want to know how many people can name the most read black magazines. There's five. You have one? Give me one. Essence, yes. Do we got someone? Ebony, yes. We'll go with that one. Yep. Yep. Jet, woo, I like you. That's a hard one. Okay. Anyone else? You again? No, no, no. Someone else. Someone else. Someone new? Anyone else? No? Okay, we'll go back to you. Black Enterprise is one, and there's a new one on the scene now as well, Uptown. I don't know if any of you know that. Okay, second question. What can you name, I have three, of the most popular nationally syndicated black radio show morning news program, programs, not news. Well, this is Texas. Oh, okay. Steve Harvey. Who are you? I love it. Awesome. And then we have Russ Parr. Okay, so when is the Essence Music Festival held and what city? She's like, I got this. If I had a prize, you would totally get it. You're like, I just know. So, you want to give New Orleans, and it's always the first week, it's the 4th of July weekend every year. Okay, here's another one. Can you name any of the online websites for African American news? Not celebrity gossip, but news. I was on the... Anything else? Anyone else? There's the Griot. There's Black America Web, which is also a Tom Joyner owned. Euroweb.com and HuffPost, Huffington Post Black Voices. Right. Okay, so some of you know me very well. And some of you are really quiet. Okay, so I was going to create this crazy slideshow video thing because the independent producer in me was like, oh, I want to wow you with all these stats. And then I was like, well, didn't I just say that, you know, my session wasn't going to be about stats? So I came up with one slide that I think demonstrates everything. It's a lot of people. It's 111 million African-American, Latinos, and Asian Americans. They have a tremendous buying power with $1.5 trillion, and we spend it. So that is I think it's really important. But now what's really important is how do we get them to spend it with you? And especially if they don't know who you are and you don't know who they are. So I think the key is understanding. And that's when we will... Understanding how to listen to social conversations is very important. In listening to how African Americans, Asian Americans, and Hispanic Americans converse, you can determine how to reach, who to reach, their wants. You can understand their culture, what platforms work for them. So it's about listening, and then you can develop a way to connect emotionally, rationally, and culturally on a personal level. I'm going to talk about things that you can consider when developing your audience. So these are the things I'm going to go over. They're kind of like best practices. You know, I'll talk about a few things, and then, you know, I'll open it up and we can have some discussion. The first obvious thing to me is have a diverse work environment. If you can have a diverse work environment, it makes creating a diverse community much easier. And the first thing is to hire people who do not look like you. It's pretty simple, right? So then create an open culture. A lot of times we tend to hire our friends or people that we went to school with, and it becomes a kind of like an old boys network where you don't really get to, you have someone that's diverse in your companies, but it's not like you've created this environment where they feel like they're a part of the team or they're a part of something. So you have to and make it more open. The next thing is partner with other organizations, diverse organizations. Just, you know, local organizations. If your company does, what does your company do? Marketing. What type of marketing? Digital marketing. And you... Exactly. But what does your marketing, what do you market? Healthcare. Okay. So just say, and you find some local Black AIDS organization, like in New York, they have the Balm of Gilead. Look to partner with local organizations to then kind of become more, you know, have a more diverse work environment. And the next thing is work with diverse companies. If you need supplier needs in your company, then reach out and work with an Asian company that might supply those things. So, despite the fact that they filed Chapter 11, I think American Airlines is one company that really exemplifies what a diverse culture looks like internally and externally. Internally, they have a diversity program that promotes diversity hiring and working with minority suppliers. Externally, they created an online community hub specifically for the African American and Hispanic markets. Black Atlas, I don't know if any of you heard of it. Yes. They have Nelson George, who goes around the world and kind of opens up the world to black travelers. Like, he goes to Helsinki, he goes to Russia, and he kind of blogs about it. And I don't know if you know, but Nelson George is a famous director, and a lot of people in the industry a lot of black people know who he is and follow some of the movies that he's made. And they partner with community organizations and sponsor a number of events for each of their communities. Next, we'll look at segmentation. Segmentation provides a way to gain insight into your community's interests allowing you to align with appropriate groups within these ethnicities. One thing you can do is identify, it allows you to identify segments, understand their demographic and behavior, determine the best way to communicate, and determine the segment that is appropriate to your company or product. So, unless you have unlimited resources and funds to reach a mass market, which I don't know if many of you do, because as me, a nascent, you know, startup, you have little to no funding. So looking at specific segments provide a cost-efficient way to find the people that best fit your community. BET and AOL recently conducted surveys breaking down the Black and Hispanic communities. I actually used the BET one for my business plans for my film stuff. So it allows me to educate an investor on the types of people that I'm going after for a particular film. And what BET did was define their groups by similar characteristics, including buying power and habits, media consumption, and influences. And what was interesting about what BET did was what they didn't do. They didn't concentrate on demographics such as age or, like, you know, all Black people who are 50 and over or anything like that. They didn't concentrate on gender, income, or behavior, but they analyzed them and put them together and presented them as a whole, providing you a clear way to reach the certain target segment that your company or brand is looking to reach in the Black community. AOL did a cyber study, and they based theirs on segmentation and preferences and behaviors, not cultural background or acculturation. Acculturation I will talk about because there are two schools of thought on that. Acculturation is what people normally use to segment Asian Americans and Hispanic Americans. But it's starting to change as the ethnicities are becoming more mature in the United States. So they can start targeting on behaviors instead of how long you've been in the country or not. But I'll discuss that more on down the line because it's still a tool to be used. And State Farm has, they used segmentation to reach the Asian American community. And they created an online and offline campaign geared to resonate culturally and specifically to the needs of select Asian Americans. And their targets were like Korean Americans, Chinese Americans, and Indian Americans. And I have two commercials to show you, and it'll show you what demographic within the Chinese community that they were reaching. The first one is in Mandarin, and the second one is in Cantonese. If it plays. Maybe it won't play. It's a really cute commercial. I wish y'all could see it. Okay, so let's see if I can tell you about it. So it's about these... four guys in a car with the State Farm magic guy, right? And so the one guy has on this ugly shirt, and his friends are, like, joking him about, ugh. And so the State Farm agent changes his outfit. So then the guy who was driving the car was like, well, can you make us have a hot car? And so he magically changed the car. And so then so they drive up to this club, and the line is, like, sparse. So they were like, and so there's like all these hot women like in line, right? And so it's just kind of like, well, State Farm cares. And so, and then the second commercial the one in Cantonese, is about a young driver. He just turned 16. And, oh, it's playing.
Not all teens feel comfortable on the road right away. State Farm can help your young driver with Steer Clear Safe Driver Program. Your teen gets extra experience and confidence, and you get lower rates. Call a State Farm agent today.
Oh, well, you can try. We can try and see if the other one is going to play. If you can go backwards. And that would be... maybe.
阿仔考到车牌了。真是好了，可以揸车了。帮我去买牛奶啊。
No, that's still the... oh, well. Just go to the language. Okay, well, we tried. Anyway, so the commercials segue perfectly into language. Language is tough. You can create a community. Oh, can you create a community and communicate with Mexicans, Cubans, and Puerto Ricans, Chinese, Japanese, Filipino? As ethnic groups mature, native languages aren't always the only options. Because there are 24 different ethnic groups and nationalities of Asians, and Hispanics hail from 22 different countries with their own nuances, no one language will resonate with everyone. A commercial can have a universal theme like the one we just saw, but when they get to you, how will you communicate with them? And that's, you know, you can get them to your brand and your company and your website, but how will you communicate? How will you continue the dialogue? So, when communicating with a diverse community, remember a native language isn't necessary, the only way to convey the message, but it's important to listen to how each segment communicates on social networks or blogs. So, what I want to say was, like in segmentation, right? I don't know if you got a chance to look at that, the previous slide about, you know, Hispanics and Black Americans. But in the Hispanic, the young and free, you know, they're bilingual. So if they're tweeting in English and they're posting in YouTube in English, it's safe to say that you can communicate in English with them. But be mindful that when you do communicate in English, that you're culturally aware and that you're culturally sensitive. I have two examples of companies that communicate with their communities differently. Their communities differently. Sears is the first one. Sears has a Spanish website for their mass market, but they created a targeted campaign for their Puerto Rican customers. The site is in Spanish and it has bilingual options. Sears saw an opportunity to use their site for Puerto Rico to target all Puerto Ricans in the U.S. and Puerto Rico. And since they know the segment is bilingual, the site reflects that. This is the landing page. And if you notice, all the columns on the left side are all in English. And this is the landing page. It's bilingual. And even their Sears Latino Facebook page, which they use as their community hub for, you know, Spanish-speaking customers, it's heavy in Spanish, but there's nice doses of English in there as well. Like, they'll ask, what kind of power tool do you like in English? And people respond in English and in Spanish. So it's one thing to think of when you are developing your diverse community and whatever target you decide to concentrate on. The next is H&M. H&M also uses its Facebook page as a community hub, but they have many different languages throughout. If a question is posed in, say, Japanese, they answer it in that language. But be careful. H&M has the resources to answer everybody back in their native language. You may not have the resources. So be mindful that if you do, you might need to hire a translation company. I would be very wary of using some translation program because sometimes they don't translate word for word. So I would hire maybe an outside company to do that. The next thing we'll talk about is what I had mentioned before, is acculturation. Acculturation is the time it takes an immigrant to adopt to the dominant culture. Understanding acculturation and the diversity within the Hispanic and Asian communities is important when you're deciding who to reach. Acculturation, there are three main acculturation levels. You're going ahead. Sorry. It's not on there? Is that chart? Okay, sorry. There are three main levels of acculturation. The mostly acculturated, which is U.S. born, speaks Spanish at home, but consumes their media in English. Third is the partially acculturated, and they are, and sometimes called, they're the bicultural, bilingual, and they speak Spanish and English at home, and they consume their media in English. And the unacculturated are foreign-born and speak their native language at home and consume their media in their native language. Hopefully that'll play. Can you turn that up? It's painful, but I really want you to watch this one, so. I think it was a great find. Maybe we'll have to go back to it. Okay. So, ESPN conducted a survey on Hispanics and sponsorship. And one of the questions they asked was, where do you like to buy your electronics? The overwhelming response, well, not overwhelming, because it was only like maybe 24%, but the favorite was Best Buy. And the people who enjoyed Best Buy, I mean, who selected Best Buy, were broken down like this. 40% was the mostly acculturated, 29 partially, and 12 unacculturated. The flip side was Walmart. The unacculturated shopped at Walmart by 26%, and you see those. So, one reason Best Buy scored so high with the mostly acculturated was they knew that this was their market, and they targeted them with a campaign that was specifically for them. They opened a Spanish language call center They issued special name badges for bilingual and Spanish-speaking employees. They launched a Spanish language website that mirrors their English language website. It wasn't just, oh, this is going to be different. It was mirrored, so they could toggle back and forth if they wanted to in English or in Spanish. So it allowed them to shop without a language barrier. If there isn't translated content on the Spanish language site, they just post in English. And they know that their customers understand English, so it's not a barrier for their targeted, market. And it also works because the mostly acculturated and the partially acculturated are bilingual. So it definitely works for them. The next. So we discussed tools to finding the right community, and those are segmentation, language, and acculturation. Now I'll discuss where you and how to find them. Media consumption is definitely a best practice that we can spend an entire session on. But as you know, Asians, African Americans, and Hispanics are sophisticated tech users. But equally important is communicating offline through traditional media and social engagement to reinforce any online campaign. In researching your segments, see how it consumes its media. So the young and free might consume their media totally different from another segment. So you have to figure out what segment works for your particular company or brand and decide which way that you want to communicate with them. For instance, Nielsen states that the multicultural consumers utilize the same resources differently, such as African Americans are TV-centric, Hispanics are savvy smartphone users, and Asians are heavily wired to the internet. So I'm going to show you two companies that use an online and offline strategy to build their communities. So Unilever Vive Mayor has one of the largest brand communities, Hispanic brand communities online, with more than 167,000 friends on Facebook, 15,000 Twitter followers, and more than 114,000 video views on YouTube. Unilever believes in this practice here, which is to participate in the online conversations by engaging with their consumers and providing content and tips that are relevant to the Latinos' everyday lives in the beauty and food perspectives. They create exclusive content, and they like to socialize their information online and offline, mass media, in-store events, and the such. The second one, and hopefully the video will play, is My Black is Beautiful, which is a Procter & Gamble company. Is it playing? Is it playing? No. Say it again. 15? Okay, thanks. Say it again. It's not playing. Oh, can you push it? Okay. Procter & Gamble what the video would tell you is, from Procter & Gamble's perspective about their company, is that they are the leading manufacturer of beauty products for Black women. And they wanted to create a place where their consumers could foster relationships with one another and their company. So they created MyBlackIsBeautiful.com, an online community where African-American women can define their own beauty standard. And My Black is Beautiful, .com, has an online presence on Facebook and Twitter, but they use traditional media. They had a TV show on BET and Centric as well that supplemented their community online. And they engaged with the community by having a tour and sponsoring different events, like at the Essence Film Festival. Essence Music Festival, sorry. The next thing we'll look at is youth. Black, Asian, and Hispanic youth represent a large segment of the young American population now and in the future. It's a desirable and influential segment, and you should consider them for your community. As you have heard, multicultural youth over-index in a number of tech areas, including mobile use. They drive trends. They hold strong influencer status in their families. They download and purchase more content and view more online and mobile ads than the average teen, whoever the average teen is, right? But the things to consider when engaging and communicating with multicultural youth are: speak their language. They want to be recognized and respected. Incorporate images that reflect them. Visually, they would like to see people like them in ads or however. Don't rely on stereotypes that could offend. Engage and interact on a personal, almost peer-to-peer basis. Be authentic. Don't push marketing. And according to Fuse Marketing, 71% of youth have not friended a company on any networking site. So be mindful of that as well. And just as I mentioned with media consumption, create an online and offline campaign that provides a more interactive experience. So the last thing that I'm going to talk about before I open it up to questions is partnerships. I really truly believe in partnerships, and it's a cost-efficient way to reach a new community. I'll give you an example, actually, from my world. I had a film that had a limited theatrical release in New York. The theme of our film deals with homosexuality, religion, Black Bahamians, white Bahamians, and set in the Bahamas. So on a limited budget of zero, marketing budget, yes, no money for this, we had a great great film festival run, but it's still not enough people, you know? So what we did was we thought partnerships was the best way to kind of get the word out and try to build a community. So we asked bloggers, organizations, gay, straight, Caribbean, and churches, and media outlets to host a screening. And so every screening for the entire first week, we had someone introduce the film. And be it, you know, a church or one of the gay bloggers, we went out after anyone who had a really significant crowd. One example is that worked with GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance against Defamation, and to host. When they sent out their Twitter blast and posted on Facebook, sent out the e-blast and posted on Facebook and Twitter, our responses was crazy. Our Facebook increases likes increased, traffic to our Facebook and website increased, our views of our trailers increased. We wanted to reach this mainstream gay audience through them. They were one of the targets. And it actually helped. On Facebook, they have like 130,000, likes, friends. So it was really instantaneous for us. And so those are a few things. I wish the videos would have played so you could have enjoyed some of them. So questions? That's it.
Hawaiians or Pacific Islanders?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, so we're from Hawaii. We work with Pacific Islanders or Native Hawaiians. So I saw you had one slide on that and their preference of, I guess, website use and Twitter use and whatnot compared mm-hmm. to the average American. Could you speak a little more to that, I guess, flavor of minority? And also I was wondering where you got those numbers from for that slide.
That one was a Nielsen slide.
Okay.
So you can't, I would say one thing in terms of talking about this is that it's really hard to say one particular group. If you're saying, oh, you know, Pacific Islanders, well, Pacific Islanders have to be segmented in different ways. Not everyone is, you can't say like all black people or all Hispanics. So you have to figure out what your demographic within that scope is and then address how to reach them. Because it could be children and just say with teens, they're on Twitter and in YouTube more than their parents. So if your audience is going to be older, then you might have to do something more traditional with that audience. So it's kind of hard to say, and that's why I try to keep it a bit more general, because when I get into specifics, it just becomes like, well, what target, like what's your company and what area are you looking at?
So we're it's a school that's actually
a K-12. Okay.
And so it's we, I guess, specifically target, you know, parents of potential students. I guess that's our main audience. And actually alumni also, which would be...
An older
crowd. Older.
So you have to look at, are you asking them to come to the school or to bring their children to the school? So it could be twofold. You could go after children to make it viable, like, oh, mom, dad, because they do have influencer status in the household, sometimes definitely about where they go to school. So if you're looking at, say, some teens, and you're trying to get them, you know, you want the parents to get them to come to the school, you might do something towards that particular group, right? And if you're going to do that, then maybe you'll look at doing something on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, because they consume that more than, you know, their parents might. But then also you can do something where in terms of with the parents, create a campaign that's maybe more Facebook but less Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess hopefully that
It is helpful, thank you. I was also wondering if you could maybe point me to more information along those lines that the Nielsen, where did you get that from?
I just typed in, well, there's a lot of, if you look up what they do, I didn't, but most of this information is for Asian Island Pacificers.
Right.
So when you look up the information, you can find it. Like Nielsen has a lot of studies.
So it's all public and...
Oh, it's all public. Yeah.
Okay.
Everything's public information. Some of it is a little dated, but most of it is pretty up to date. The census has information as well. And what's another thing? I want to say there's... I'll think of it and I'll let you know. But there's another organization that does... that provides information on different types of media. Media consumption for each demographic. Any other questions? No? No? Okay. Oh, yes.
Is the BET data, is that actually proprietary, or are they you know, is that something that can be released?
It was released, but you have to definitely pay for it. Yeah. Yeah, it's the, yeah. It's 2010 information, just, and so is the AOL cyber study, but I still think it's relevant. Yeah, yeah, I think, oh yeah, that's what I wanted to tell you, but a lot of their Pew stuff is definitely towards, like what people read and things of that nature. Yeah, yeah. Right. 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 Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I do like the BT because I think they just. They looked at things a little bit differently than normal, like putting the survivors, you know, like might not have different interests than, say, you know, the young male teens that are more, I guess, at risk, they say, might have different interests than someone who is, what do they call them, bright horizons. And so I thought that was, I think it's pretty good.
I think they did a good job.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Right. Right. Yeah. Yes.
What was the name of the film that you partnered with GLAAD to produce?
It's called Children of God.
Children of God. And how hard was it to approach them? I mean, they're pretty large, aren't they?
It was pretty easy, actually. They have a media division. So I just called the general information, and they said that, or I looked up someone, like, you know, through the website, and they have someone who actually does entertainment. So I'm actually on their Twitter, and they every day they'll say what shows or things that you should watch. So they're really about promoting that. And so it was just trying to find the right person and then sending them the film and following up. And they were like, oh, they watched it, and they were like, oh, we're more than happy to support this. That's it. So, I want to let you know that there is right now a Blacks in Technology meetup at the Carver Museum. So if anybody is interested, definitely go to Carver Museum and hang out. Thank you, guys.